Well, Chris, thank you so much. And for those of you who are joining us for the very first time, welcome. And for those of you who are returning from last week, welcome back. We are thrilled to pieces to be able to provide a four-week opportunity for us to talk about, as leaders, having this mastermind discussion amongst all of us, how we can become a person of influence. So welcome back. We are glad that you're here. My name is Deb Ingino, and I am a founding partner with the John Maxwell team. And just a very brief information about my background. When I started with the John Maxwell team back in March 2011, I was in my corporate career. And I sort of was kind of riding the fence on whether or not I wanted to leave that corporate career and start my own business. And after joining the team, going for the International Maxwell Certification, I did decide to start my business, and I started it in December of that year. So I am doing this full-time, loving having the opportunity to add value to folks just like you all on the phone. And Chris Robinson, my friend, Chris and I actually met at the very first International Maxwell Certification back in August 2011. And Chris, tell the folks a little bit about yourself as well.
Yeah, well, thanks, Deb. Great to be on with you. And I, too, am a founding partner with the John Maxwell team, as well as I run my own business as a speaker, coach, and trainer, and also a teaching faculty member for the John Maxwell team, teaching the sales lane of how to actually sell, speaking, coaching, and training itself. And so I joined the program back in March of 2011, because I too had, I had this goal, this vision, this dream of becoming a speaker, coach, and trainer, but there's a lot of moving parts of the business, and there was a lot of things that I needed, and the John Maxwell team provided those resources, the support, and things that I needed. You know, one of the main things I was looking for was content like we provide here tonight, because prior to John Maxwell team, you know, I thought that most speakers, you know, I really just got there and spoke from the heart, you know, and that's not the case. You know, it's an art, it's a skill, it's a craft, and there's more content that you could utilize with the John Maxwell team, and I was given that, you know, prior to the team. You know, I had a good solid 10 minutes of content that was with a strong open, a strong close, and 10 points in between, and it was 10 minutes, and that was good, but I knew that if I wanted to speak, I needed more content. I needed more things to be able to utilize inside of companies. If a company asked me to speak for 90 minutes, I was shot. If a company asked me to come in and do a half day or one day, I didn't have it. If they wanted me to come in and do a 90-day program with them, I didn't have it. And John Maxwell team provided that. But not only that, but also the support and the teaching faculty and the team members. And it just made that absolutely outstanding. So I am a product of the product of the John Maxwell team. It wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today without this team. And so I'm excited this week, because tomorrow, and some of us are already down there, is actually our second of this year International Maxwell Conference and Certification, which we have twice a year, once in August and once in February, March. So we have that twice a year, and it's just a phenomenal event, a few thousand people that are getting certified as coaches, speakers, and trainers. So again, like I said, we're here to add value to you guys here tonight, but if you do have an interest in learning more about it, go to johnmaxwellteam.com/BAPI, and also you're going to find out more. We have a $1,000 scholarship that's being offered, and you can find out more about how you can receive that as well, too. So that's a little bit about me, but Deb, let's jump into it.
Yeah, Chris, I got to tell you, I have to tell you, the reason why I think tonight's call is so important is because when we talk about, you know, this call of is of value for everyone who's listening, because no matter what your career is or your business is or your vocation or the level of involvement you have in your church or in your community, however your leadership role shows up, even at home, right? John Maxwell talks about how leadership is influence, that leadership is not the fancy title. You know, I love the story about Mother Teresa. You know, her title was Mother, okay? Great title, important title. I'm glad I had one. but yet this woman was able to get world leaders on the phone because she was a leader of influence. She was a person of influence. And how influence is how each of us has this amazing ability to influence both people and outcomes, right?
Right. You got it.
And when you think about, you know, integrity, right? Integrity is that what we're going to talk about tonight in this call. It's about what John first talks about. He talks about integrity and its importance to our success. In fact, most business leaders, you know, when you look at companies that have values or a value statement or a mission statement, typically integrity is somewhere in there. But having a plaque on the wall is much different than having it show up in real life, right, Chris?
Absolutely. I mean, it is. I mean, if you look at any leadership characteristics in any book written outside of John Maxwell, from John Maxwell, integrity is just going to make the list. You know, it's one of the things that we, you know, believe in. It's one of the core values that I believe all humans carry at some degree. I say some degree, but it's there. It's there, and it's going to show up on all lists and characteristics that we want to see inside of leaders.
And one thing I'd love to share with our listeners as well is that what we're going to share tonight, you know, everybody talks about the golden rule and having integrity, and you may be thinking, you know, oh, this is the same old lesson. But we're taking a slice of integrity and talking about it from a leadership perspective. So it's really different. We're going to be hyper-focused tonight. We're going to dive deep into this issue and how it shows up and sometimes how it doesn't show up with us as leaders. So, Chris, when you think of integrity and how John talks about it, you know, most business leaders agree that it's a top value, right? And they look for it in hiring talent. But let's jump into what some of those pieces of integrity really is, as John describes it. You want to hit that first one for us?
Yeah, sure can. So, integrity is what we do when no one is looking. Now, we're going to look at three different components. There are two right now, but integrity is what we do when no one is watching. And many of you have heard that online before. We explain it to our kids that way. But here's another thing, is that integrity is not determined by circumstances, and integrity has nothing to do with a title or credentials. So when I think about integrity, I think that it's not determined by circumstances. Well, so it's like in one situation we don't have integrity, then another one causes not to have integrity and say, hey, it's not okay in this area, but it's okay to not have integrity in this area. You know, I think about being inside of an office with a company that I work with, and I just happened to walk into the manager's office that I was going to be working with that day, and he was on the phone, and he didn't see me walk up behind him. And he was deeply, intently into a call, and this is an insurance company, and on the phone was an employee that was trying to deny a claim for a customer. And it was in black and white, where the denied claim could have been denied, and in all rights, you know, the employee had the right to deny this claim. But you could see the manager that I was going to go see begin to sit up in his chair, and literally, I'm not for leaders yelling at people, okay? But he yelled at this individual, but it was yelling in a good way. He said, no, absolutely not. You pay this claim. I don't care. I don't care what the book says. I don't care what the manual says. You get this claim paid. And then he hangs up the phone, he turns around, and there I stand. Now, that wasn't a show for me. That was integrity in a moment that no one was looking, which he could have easily sided with that individual, but it truly gave me a sense of who this individual was. It made me feel at peace in the type of organization that I'm helping develop leaders. Now, at the same time, when I think of that individual, I've also caught that individual inside the bathroom picking up trash off the floor. I've caught the individual in the break room taking the trash out. And here's what it is. He's doing those things, and it has nothing to do with his title. He can easily say somebody else in the building can take the trash out. He can easily say somebody in the building needs to pick the trash up in the bathroom, but yet he was there doing it. You see, integrity is what we do when no one is watching, but here's what you have to understand about that. You never know who's watching.
Ooh. oh, that's so good. You know, it's funny. You know, integrity has very little really to do with our reputation, right? And I love how John outlines in the book, and folks, if you've not read the book, Becoming a Person of Influence, John outlines there's a difference between reputation and character. So reputation is what we are supposed to be, right? What we are reported to be in the eyes of some folks. But character, Chris, the story you just mentioned really was a great display of this person's character. It's who we are, whether someone's watching or not. And I have to share this story. I have a recent experience that really illustrates this point so well. I have a new client of mine, and I coach 15 leaders in that organization. They have about 100 employees, and the president recently asked me to sit in on the next meeting he was having with his leadership team, which is slightly unusual, but not horribly unusual. Sometimes they like for a coach or someone to come in and sit in and kind of give them an outside perspective. So as I sat in, it was kind of, you know, typical business as usual, the agenda items you would normally expect to see in a meeting like that. And then he began talking about one of his competitors. But I have to tell you, Chris, it's interesting. His whole tone changed. And it was pretty dramatic, the shift itself. And he went on to tell his leadership team that he wanted to, quote, unquote, annihilate them. Now, frankly, I got to tell you the truth. I was shocked because I knew he had a reputation for being a tough leader. But, wow, annihilate your competition? I'm all for, you know, healthy competition in business. But, you know, annihilate them? That seemed a little extreme.
Right.
But here's the thing. As he continued to talk, his character shone through in this meeting so loud and so clear. This is such a great leadership lesson for all of us. He went on to share the story of a potential new employee who was referred to his company by a current employee. And the current employee referred his friend because he knew his friend was really struggling at that moment with an addiction problem. And this CEO of this company has personally brought employees to recovery programs and supported their families while they were getting themselves together. And what he went on to tell was the story about how this kid came in for an interview. They were hiring him even though he probably wasn't the best candidate.
Right.
But he had some really good qualities, and it was important to his team member, his existing employee, that he do something to try to help this kid. So he offered him a job. Yeah. The kid went back to his existing company, who was this guy's competitor, and the existing company offered him a whole lot of money. So, of course, he stayed. And unfortunately, when he got his very first paycheck, he went out. He had a great party for himself, and he ended up dying of an overdose that very first weekend. And, Chris, what that showed me was I was making a judgment about his character when he was like, I want to annihilate them. I don't want people like them in business anymore. They have no right to employ people that they just don't care about. But it was only when he shared with his leadership team the entire story why that I understood that this president cares so deeply for people, his character was shining through in such a big way. And during that meeting with his leaders, he shared that he didn't want companies like that to succeed, that their lives in the balance. And I thought to myself, that is character in action, baby. Like, it is unmistakable. So what do you think his leadership team thought about him right then and there, right? They trusted him more? They thought, you know what, this guy really actually cares. And when people's trust in us, when they see our character and they see that we are trustworthy, boy, oh boy, our influence grows, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. That's a phenomenal story. And, you know, a great organization that you have the opportunity to be a part of. But when you look at that story, he really answers the three questions that John says that all followers ask. Mm. You know, John says that all followers ask three questions, and if you can get a yes to these three questions, then those individuals will follow you. If you can't get a yes to these three questions, those individuals will leave you. three questions are this. Can I trust you? Can you help me? Do you care about me?
Mm.
Can I trust you? Can you help me? Do I care about you? Now, you can boil leadership down to this in its simplicity, and I would say that that team could get three yeses to all three of those questions. But if you think about it, look at any organization or company that you ever left, and chances are one or more of those questions were violated. Think about any relationship that you've ever left, and one or more of those questions were violated. And so he was getting and building that trust by getting a yes to those three questions. And so I think that that's just a phenomenal story. But here's the second thing that you have to pay attention to in that story, is that people stay with organizations for two reasons. You know, the first reason that they stay with the organization is that if they see if there's upward growth and mobility inside that organization. So if they see, you know what, I can grow and I can do and be more inside this organization. There's a ladder for me to climb. You know, there's opportunity for me to grow here. They'll stay with the organization. The second reason is if it will help them grow personally. So maybe it's not much upward growth or not high of a ladder for them to climb, but it's helping them progress in their personal lives, then they'll stay with the organization. You see, in that scenario that you just talked about, there was an opportunity for him to grow personally, but this organization gave him a fast pass to help him grow personally, supposedly,
yep.
by offering
yep.
more cash,
mm-hmm.
which allowed for him to stay inside the organization. So a lot of organizations, they'll try to do it with cash alone. But look, it doesn't matter how much cash you give an individual. At some point in time, they become immune to that. I've seen this at all levels, at employees that make $1 million a year, $500,000 a year, $100 a year, $40 a year, $30 a year. I've seen the exact same numbness come, and the number becomes irrelevant. It becomes more relevant when you can help people learn what to do with the money, learn what to do with the resources to get them the help that they need in all areas of their life, not just specifically on their job. So leaders like that that you're working with, Deb, those are leaders that I love to be around.
And, you know, it's funny, Chris, as you were talking, I was getting goosebumps because that's exactly why I love doing what I do, because mm-hmm. I get to be around leaders and help them to expand their influence. I want to help this company president succeed. I want him to be the fastest growing company in my region of the world. I want him to employ thousands of people, tens of thousands mm-hmm. of people, because he is the right leader sharing his ability to influence people and outcomes in a great way. You know, for those of you who are listening in, you know, maybe you're like me and you want to be able to help other businesses and other leaders to really make a difference in the lives of their employees or their community members or their own family. I would just so encourage you, if you've not yet gone to johnmaxwellteam.com/BAPI, BAPI, boy, you know, make sure you take a look at that, because I think you may find exactly what I found, that this ability to be able to influence leaders who influence large numbers of people is a great way for us to serve. And Chris, what about some of those other questions that John talks about, right?
Yeah, a couple questions. There's two here, and I'll talk about one of them here. But the first question is, how well do I treat people from whom I can gain nothing? How well do I treat people from who I gain nothing is one of the first questions we have to ask about integrity. But number two is, do I quickly admit wrongdoing without being pressed to do so?
Those
are two questions that really push, you know, the line of integrity. Now, so let me talk about the first one. So the first one is, how well do I treat people from whom I can gain nothing? You know, this is a very good one, because you never, again, like I said with integrity, you never know who's watching. You know, years ago, I worked for a general manager of this organization I worked for, and this guy and I had a phenomenal relationship. We had a great relationship. For whatever reason, I was in his grace, And he treated me with respect, never talked down to me, never talked at me. But yet those around him, and he was known for his office being called F City. So what was that mean? You fill in the blank. But when you went to his office, you were going to catch some foul language, okay? And he was going to talk at you. He was going to talk down to you. And I never could understand why I never could just fully buy into him. And even though the way that he treated me was great, but after, you know, learning more about leadership and following more John Glenn, I found out I had a difficulty in following him because of the way that he treated other people. Now, the way that we treat other people, whether we're paying attention or whether we think that others are paying attention to us or not, is very important. Now, I can think of an opposite perspective of that, and not to share and brag on myself, but that this is an instance where I wasn't paying attention to someone paying attention to me, and it impacted them. You know, one of my favorite things to do whenever I go speak at an event is I like to go out and shake hands with the crowd, the audience, and not tell them who I am or what I'm there to do, but just go and shake hands with the crowd. And because, moments later I'm up on the stage and, oh, they got a chance to meet the speaker. And oftentimes some people will think, oh, you work for the hotel or something of that nature. Because you know, I'm just in there shaking hands, and they just don't know, you know, sometimes. And but this one opportunity I had a few years back is I had an opportunity to speak inside of an arena to over 5,000 people. And this was my first time in an arena, and this was for a big organization. And I was excited, but I wasn't going to change the way that I behaved because it was this type of event. There was this great VIP room in the back. They had steak, they had lobster, they had shrimp, they had couches, they had a TV, multiple TVs showing the main stage and what was going on, and this was where all the important people were. Now, I turned to my host and I said, well, hey, you know, we're getting ready to get started here shortly. I want to go out and shake hands because that's what I always do. So I began on the first floor of the arena, and I began to just go throughout the aisles and shaking hands, and I was so excited because I'm getting ready to speak in this arena. Now, these people had no idea why I'm walking through this arena shaking hands. Well, I'd go around the first level, and then I'd go up to the second level of the arena, and I go around the whole ring again, and I look up, and there's another row up there in the 300 section. I say, come on, let's go to the top. And I'm going through the arena, and I'm shaking hands in the 300 level, and then we're getting ready to go back down, and my heart is just fulfilled because I know that I'm getting ready to go out here and make a difference. Well, we're getting ready to go back down the elevator, and I turned to the host that was with me, and she was just in tears. And I said, whoa, what's wrong? Are you okay? And she says, Chris, she goes, I've hosted this event and been a speaker host for over 20 years. We've had some of the biggest names on the planet come to this event and speak, and you are the first speaker in 20 years to ever leave the green room. She says, Chris,
that's because you're the first one that knew the Maxwell Method.
That's right. Yeah. And she says, Chris, she goes, you know, I have seen people talk about they care about people, but you're the first to actually show it. Mm. And I thought, wow. And that just truly touched my heart. But what happened there was that, you know, I lived out integrity in that moment in, you know, answering the question, how well do I treat people from whom I can gain nothing from? There was nothing for me to gain to go up to Section 300. There was nothing for me to gain to go to Section 200. I didn't have to do that. I had got the paycheck already. They had paid me to be there. I just needed to sit in the room, deliver, and go back in there. Now, it gets better, Deb. So this past International Maxwell Training, prior to that, I go out to San Diego. And I meet up with some John Maxwell team members for lunch, and there's a gentleman there that shows up that drove in for over an hour and a half away. He was in Long Beach, California. He says, Chris, I couldn't wait to meet you here today. I want you to know I'm part of the John Maxwell team because a year and a half ago I was at this event, And I was sitting up in the top of this section, and I didn't want to go to this event. And I saw you on stage that day.
Oh, wow.
As a result, I'm here today.
Mm. You talk about influencing
know.
From the stage.
You never know who's watching you and the difference that you'll make. Integrity is a difference maker. It truly is.
Oh.
So let's talk about that second question, Deb. How quickly do you admit wrongdoing without being pressed
to do so? We have
to
talk about this one. I have to tell you, this when I first read Becoming a Person of Influence, I have to tell you, this one really embarrassed me, because instantly I thought back to something that happened with very early on in my career. I was so focused on being perfect, or at least appearing perfect. Let's face it, none of us are perfect, right?
Right.
But I was so focused on appearing perfect that I didn't want to take direction on a mistake that I had made. I remember in this one job, my boss had asked me to contact the local phone company to come in for an upgrade, and I forgot to make the call. So when he came to me and asked me when they were coming in, I assured him that it would be upgraded within days, because I thought, in a panic mode, I'll just call them and kind of, you know, beg and get an appointment right away, which I was able to do that. But what I should have done was I should have really admitted my mistake and say, hey, you know what, I dropped the ball on that one. I'm going to get right on it. But I didn't do that.
Right.
I called the phone company. They finally agreed that they could do it within a couple of days, but it had to be between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. So, of course, I went home. I had dinner with my family. Then I headed back to the office and stayed until 4 a.m. since there was a glitch during the upgrade. And, of course, then I went home, showered, and went right back to work that same day. But here's the thing. I caused myself and the organization a whole lot of unnecessary heartache. I mean, instead of just admitting my mistake, I think my integrity level very early on in my career was still had a lot of opportunity for growth. And so instead of admitting my mistake, I wanted to appear that I had it under control, appear that I was perfect. And that cost me certainly a whole night's sleep, and probably a whole lot more, because, you know, to think about how impactful that mistake was, that I still remember it today, decades later, I know it had a lot of impact. I mean, listen, we all make mistakes. And now this mistake has really, honestly, prepared me well as I coach and speak and train others. I mean, think about it. What's the saying? Experience is the best teacher? But John says, yeah, but it doesn't have to be your experience, right?
Right.
So I openly share my experience now with other folks, because I don't want them to fall into that same trap that I did, where we're not willing to admit wrongdoing unless we're pressed to do so.
Yeah. Wow, that's good.
The other question, go ahead, Chris.
Go ahead. Yeah, sure.
I was going to say, you know, the other question that John asked is, do I make a difficult decision even if it has a personal cost associated with it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a tough one, right? Because a lot of times as leaders, we're pressed with an opportunity to make a decision, like the decision that you overheard that phone call with. He was doing something to the benefit of that customer, and it had a cost certainly to the business. So that cost the business something. But when it really hits home is when it costs us personally, when it takes time away from something that's important to us or our family, because it's still the right thing to do. That's a tough one, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because, again, it's one of those things where I think you're a great example of, like you said, using the gentleman. You know, it cost the company something. But, you know, you have to ask the same question of when there's a commission that would cost, is that the same decision? Now, I'm going to gather this study in this individual. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say yes. But oftentimes, I will work inside of organizations that have salespeople, and, you know, when they're close to a bonus, that integrity begins to get a little gray. You know, if I could just get it to stick for a little bit longer, and, you know, it's making those decisions in that time that really make us, because, yes, you get the short-term gain, but I always see those short-term decisions come out in the light. And so although they make it for the month, they may not make it for the year. They may not make it for 2 years, 3 years. It always catches up with you when you make those short-term decisions.
That's so good. So true. You know, it's funny. The next one John talks about, this is one that I see so prevalently in businesses today. And John says, when I have something to say about people, do I talk to them or do I talk about them? That toxic, drama-filled dialogue where instead of having a productive discussion with someone, that we end up talking about the person. I'd love to get your perspective on this, because I know in the businesses that I work with today that a lot of times the reason they're looking for someone like you and I and even folks on the line to come in is that they need to have an objective third party that can tell their team members how really unproductive it is. But it is a clear sign of a lack of leadership, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I came across this situation today. Was in a one-on-one with a individual, and he said, you know, Chris, I really need to reprimand this guy and take away this deal because he didn't close the deal out properly. And I said, okay, great. Well, what are you going to do? This? He goes, well, I'm going to do it at the end of the day. I said, okay. Well, at the end of the day, I said, well, talk to me about the pros and the cons of doing it at the end of the day. It's like, do I have to? Like, I know the pros and the cons. That's what he goes, but it's just easier.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got momentum right now, and I don't want to break this guy's momentum. And so I just want to tell him at the end of the day, I said, yeah, but by the end of the day, could he possibly make this mistake, you know, a couple more times? Absolutely he can. Do you think he'll be in more trouble when we have to take it further if he continues to do this throughout the day and you didn't address it? Yeah, we did. I know what to do. I got to do it. He wanted to go talk to other managers, talk to everybody else about it except for talking with the individual. Now he goes back and he talks with the individual, addresses him directly. And, you know, we were able to help him, you know, frame the conversation and the dialogue, you know, for that particular rep. Worked out textbook. Afterwards, he comes up, shakes my hand. He says, thank you. That went textbook. It was the right thing to do. So we talked to him, not just about him.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. We talk about having those difficult discussions with folks. It's easy for all of us to shy away from them because, let's face it, none of us want to invest a lot of emotional energy in business. We've got so many things we're trying to get done in our careers, our jobs, our businesses, that no one wants to stop and then have this very uncomfortable discussion. But the fact of the matter is, you're going to have the discussion at one point or another. It's just you want to have it sooner while you can nip it in the bud, or later when it becomes so much more painful, right?
Right, absolutely, absolutely. What's
now,
our
for
last
those
question,
of you, well, before we go into that one, I just want to just jump in real quick. You know, for those of you who are listening in, you know, what we just spoke about just this second, it just came to me that, you know, I think about the clients that I serve today and being able to have a candid discussion with them on how they can become a person of influence, how they can build deeper trust, how they can talk to people and not about them, is such an important aspect. So if you'd like to learn how you can lead mastermind groups using this and a lot of other content that the John Maxwell team offers, and be able to charge people and companies for the training or for the mastermind group, you go ahead and go to johnmaxwellteam.com/BAPI. And while you're there, you're going to see that we have a $1,000 scholarship offer as well. So that is absolutely something I just want to encourage folks to check out. I just know, Chris, the reason I want to emphasize this now is because I would say that right now, and I think in terms of the clients that I'm serving this year, that, and it's not very dissimilar from last year, probably close to 90% of them have been referred to me because of the fact that they have had this type of situation happen in their organization, and it's an absolute distraction to results.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
Now, that last question John talks about, oh, this is a tough one. You know, we're talking about integrity, right? We're talking about, you know, integrity is what we do when no one's watching. And we talked about it's not determined by circumstances, and it has nothing to do with our titles or credentials. And that reputation is what we're supposed to be, but character is kind of who we are. This last one is key. Am I accountable to at least one other person for what I think, for what I say, and for what I do?
Wow.
Chris, share your perspective on that one.
Yeah. Well, that's a great question, because a lot of times, you know, we think that, you know, we hear the phrase, it's lonely at the top, or leaders are, you know, lonely, okay? And if you are a lonely leader, you are a struggling leader because you don't have that level of accountability in there. And so as a coach for an organization, you know, we provide that service, you know, for an accountability there. You know, for myself, I have that as well too. But when you have that level of accountability there for what it is that you think, say, and do, you know, it helps you stay in line. But if you can go rogue and you can do things in the dark, you find yourself in dark places more often than you want to be because you don't have that level of accountability there. So that is one of the most important things that you can have to grow as a leader, to grow as an individual, is accountability. You know, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today without accountability partners in my life, that's for sure.
Yeah. And you know what? Accountability is something, if you're wired the way I am a naturally non-compliant person. So as soon as someone wants me to be accountable, I will go out of my way to prove to them why I shouldn't be accountable, at least not to them. But that was a maturing process as my leadership walk grew, right? So now, today, I realize that accountability, that I am not, clearly I'm not the smartest person in any room, but at least not the rooms that I travel in. And being accountable to someone so that they have the opportunity to be able to mentor me or coach me, help me to see how I can change what I think, change what I say, change what I do, at least consider the possibility that there are other approaches that might work really, really well. And that I know for myself, Chris, I have been the beneficiary of having people that have done that for me. That I even think about something as simple as, you know, in a company, in a community group, in a networking group, it doesn't matter, that when someone takes somebody, quote unquote, under their wing, a lot of times that's what they're doing. They're helping people to see, you know, some other ways of getting things done, some other approaches. But, of course, their wing is kind of limited by their wingspan, right, by their experience. Mm-hmm. It's one of the reasons why I love our team, because I can call up you and so many other folks on the team and say, hey, you know, have you ever dealt with this with any of your clients? How has that worked out for you? What would you share with me? How can we help people to do better in this one area? And we literally do what you and I are doing right now. We have a mastermind discussion and actually go much deeper and brainstorm on solutioning, don't we?
Absolutely. Well, Deb, I'll tell you what, it's easy to see that integrity builds trust, and the benefit of trust is definitely more influence. So some of the ways that you can deepen your trust with others, stay in integrity always and in all ways. So what we're going to do is we're going to open up the queue here now, and so you're going to be able to ask questions. We've got about 20 minutes for us to be able to ask questions. We're going to go into Q&A mode. If you would like to ask a question, go ahead and press star 6. So while we're waiting on the queue to fill, probably shouldn't take long, press star 6 to jump in the queue. But again, if you would like to find out more information about John Maxwell's team, how you can, you know, find out more about implementing some of the material and content inside of your company, and not even as a speaker, coach, or trainer, but just how can you add value to your organization by being equipped to be able to deliver leadership content, go to johnmaxwellteam.com/BAPI. Let's go to our queue here. 972 area code. Welcome to the call.
Yes.
Welcome. Hey, how are you?
Hi, my name is Pamela. Are you talking? Is it my turn to speak?
It sure is. You're up.
Oh, how are you, everyone? Blessings and good evening. I was calling because, or asking the question about integrity and leadership. One of the things I experienced here recently was one of our senior leaders having to dial back on a decision that was made and then face the people and apologize. And
right.
I thought that was an incredible opportunity for many of us to witness how it did not take away from who he was. It didn't take away from the person of leadership and so forth, but he did have to step back. And I thought, for him to apologize, to say, you know what, just didn't make a good decision right then, was pretty incredible. I want to know what your thoughts about that are as we build integrity.
Yeah, I think that's outstanding, and I think that takes a huge step. I think that whenever you do that, it humanizes you. And, you know, that gives them opportunity, because for the most part, I believe that us as a human species, that we're forgiving. Now, again, we might not forget, but when a person comes out and admits they're wrong and takes responsibility for it, it makes it easier for us to move on. But when a person refuses to acknowledge a mistake, and everybody knows it, you know, and you know, whenever you make a mistake, everybody knows it. You know everybody knows it, but yet you keep moving on. Whenever you come out and admit that, there's like a relief. There's a sign in the air like, oh, they know that we know, okay? And so I think that that's absolutely outstanding what they did. Had to be difficult, but it was the right thing to do. Deb, what about your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, one of the things that's so remarkable when a leader is willing to stand in integrity, even in their mistakes, and be very transparent for the team, shows that that leader is helping the team to build even deeper trust. And that the team, just like you pointed out, Chris, the team already knows that there's a mistake that's been made. You know, they see that leader's not perfect, right? None of us are. But for that leader to admit it and to be able to lead them through it, that is a model of success that every high-performing leader finds themselves in.
That's good. Great question. Thanks for asking. Thanks for being on the line.
Thank
you. What was your first name again? I apologize.
Pamela Blair. Pamela.
Pamela. All right.
Thanks
for being
Pamela.
On, Pamela.
Thank
All
you.
Right.
Appreciate it.
Got our next caller here. It's like a 314 area. 314, welcome to the call. My neck of the woods, St. Louis area code. Hello, 314-600. You're on the line. You may be muted on your side.
I'm sorry. This is
weird. Oh, you're cutting out pretty heavily.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah,
yes,
much
sure
better.
Can.
Yep.
Okay. I have a confession. Today, listening to you guys call about integrity, that really blessed me tonight. I'm going through an experience. I'll give you something quick. I have a supervisor, and even though she's going against things that would jeopardize my integrity, I'm owning up to my mistake, because after that, I stood up and I told everybody about what she wants me to do and how I don't like it and how that's against my character and my belief in my integrity. But yet, listening to you tonight about speaking about it, that convicted me of what I'm doing wrong.
Yeah. Wow. That's great.
First of all, what's your first name?
Oh.
I missed it. I'm not sure if you're still on the line with us.
There we go. Celeria, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Did I miss anything? Did you guys hear what I was saying?
Yes.
Yes, we did.
It convicted
you.
I'm just looking at.
Right.
Well, I'm looking at the errors that I made, and I thank you for making me aware of me speaking about what happened and the wrong that she's doing. It helped me to realize the wrong I was doing as far as speaking to others about what was happening, and that I could have just spoken with her and not let anyone else know about what I'm doing, because I found out that by another supervisor that unaware that the reason why she didn't want me there, because a lot of people respected my opinion and my influence. So that only showed me the negativity of speaking against my supervisor that I did not want to display.
Right. Wow.
So tonight really helped me to focus and evaluate my actions.
Wow. Well, can I just I just want to honor what you said, because what I love about what you said is that you realize, and here's the thing, awareness is the first step, right? And then you already have your game plan set. You already know what you're doing.
Oh, yes. I'm a minister, and that really convicted me. And now I'm ready to go to her and ask her, by John Maxwell, listening to him, what is it I could do to make your job better?
Oh, right. I love it.
That's great. Wow. Outstanding.
I just wanted to just come on and just say thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for being on.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right. Let's get our next caller here. Let's go 956 area code. Welcome to the call, 956.
Hi. My name is Bernardo. I'm from Texas.
Hey, Bernardo.
Hi, Bernardo.
My question is, in a leader, when we refer to a leader, how can you, Chris or Deb, explain the difference between integrity and reputation on a leader?
Okay, right. Deb, you want to start with that one?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So here's how I know it to be, Bernard. So that integrity, reputation is what other people, it's a label other people give us. So I might have a reputation for being a great speaker, or a reputation for being somebody who's good with spreadsheets, or reputation for someone who is, great at, sort of helping other people, mentoring other people. But integrity.
Some type of a talent?
Yes.
Okay.
But integrity is something that's inside of me, whether people give me that reputation or not. So if somebody says that I'm great at helping people, but deep down inside, from an integrity standpoint, I'm really not helping them. I'm actually, quote unquote, appearing to help people, but I'm really not. I'm actually sending them down the wrong path. That's where there's a breach of integrity. So reputation, in my mind, is something we get from other people, but integrity is something inside of us.
Would you describe integrity something that you get from your home, from your family, from your parents, or something that you learn as you grow, as in the professional field, as you get older? How would you describe that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that it does have something to do with your parents, but not everybody had integrous parents. And the model that you had at home may have been, may have lacked integrity. The office that you work inside of may lack integrity. So I think that it's inner work, and I think that it's an individual choice. I think that early on and even later in life, it can be influenced by our environments, but I think that it's an active inner choice that you have to make and say, am I going to be a person of integrity? Or am I going to allow for circumstances to dictate my integrity?
Correct.
Beautiful.
Great. Beautiful. Thank you so much for coming, Deb.
Bernardo, what a fantastic question. Thank you for asking that.
All right.
And thank you. Thank you so much for answering them. And I have learned a lot today from you all. And I learned a lot last week from you all as well.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on. All right. Let's go here. Let's get our next caller here. 469 area code. Welcome to the call.
Yes, sir. Mr. Robinson, Ms. Angina, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I'm out of Texas. I've been enjoying
What was your name again?
Robert Jackson.
Robert Jackson, great. Thanks, Robert. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, brother. I appreciate it, and I've been hearing about y'all's success kind of through the grapevine. I actually had a mutual friend that set up a meeting of all days today, and I got to meet with somebody who used to be on the President Advisory Council, if I'm not mistaken.
Great. Who was that?
His name is Kip.
Kip?
Yes, sir.
Good. That's great.
And so it was, I mean, we had a great time, awesome energy. But my question, or two quick questions to both of you, will be, what would be your advice to somebody looking to really maximize and utilize this, not just as a business opportunity, but as a career and a platform to really reach a lot of people? And then on, especially with all the years of experience that you have being in the business and a part of the John Maxwell team in particular. And then my other question was going to be, what content would you say you utilize the most while you're out in the field? Just for somebody who's kind of newly getting into it, because I actually run a nonprofit in North Texas.
Yep.
And it's family owned and operated, and I've had the pleasure of being able to speak at a lot of places, but to have a curriculum and access to content from somebody like Maxwell, I'm sure y'all already know, it gives you a lot more credibility, but it also gives you what you said you came looking for, content to be able to teach to a church, a corporation, or what have you. So those would be my big questions.
Yeah, great questions. I'll jump right into it. Because here's the thing. This is not just about building a business. This is about building influence no matter where you are.
Mm.
So you could take this content, and this is the way that I began to bridge my gap years before John Maxwell team. I didn't know it. I had attended a conference, and I had got a lot of learning from John Maxwell. And one of the things I did before John Maxwell certification existed was I would buy a VHS of John Maxwell, play a little bit of John on the VHS, and then I would facilitate questions. And so I was masterminding before I knew I was masterminding and being trained on it. And I was growing right where I was. So if you are online and you own a business or organization and you want a way to grow and develop, the people around you, this is for you. If you are inside of a job where you're trying to grow and climb a ladder and better equip yourself, this is a way to do it. When you utilize this for personal growth, in turn, you're going to be able to give that to others. Because what I can tell you is you cannot give what you do not have. And if you begin to dive into this material for your own growth and begin to now implement this in the environments and circles that you're in, your influence is going to grow. You're going to impact your community. You're going to impact your family. You're going to grow like you've never grown before. You're going to get around other like-minded people that are going to take your thoughts to another level. So you can utilize this exactly where you are. Deb, thoughts on that?
Yeah. Chris, there's nothing I can add to that. But what I will say is this. You know, Robert, you asked a question about content, right? What content, I think, was the question we use most?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So here's the thing. When I think of content, in the John Maxwell program, we have access to a tremendous amount of John's content. And what's funny is, let's use tonight's call, Becoming a Person of Influence. Whether someone is a business owner in ministry, has a job that they have to lead people or projects, right, works on community projects, you know, serves in their local community, becoming a person of influence is a perfect fit for anyone who wants to build their reach as a leader to influence other people and outcomes. Then I think, you know, another great example is that there's a book that we have access to on the John Maxwell team, The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth. And we have mastermind guides and training guides and scripts and everything else, PowerPoints, everything on how to use it. But here's the thing. I personally have taken the 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth material and done it for real estate agents and done it for business owners and done it for leaders in a business.
Yep.
So, Robert, the content can be multi-purposed in many ways, and one of the things that we do on the team is we help people to see how it can be utilized. It's kind of like stepping up into a beautiful library that has all these amazing books in it, but now which one do I need to pull off the shelf? And that's where we come in.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, both of those were awesome, and I really appreciate your feedback. And thank you, Chris. Thank you, Debbie. I hope I didn't sound misconstrued when I was saying as far as building the business side of it. It was more so in the sense of I know that this is something that people are also leveraging to to build a business and to be able to spend more time with their families and have a broader reach and be able to travel state to state versus whatever they may be currently doing. And so with already building a nonprofit.
That as well too.
I'm just saying, so thank you both for your feedback. I appreciate your honesty and your transparency, and thank you for answering my questions. Wishing you both the best, and be blessed. Thank you very much.
You too. Thank you. Thanks for joining us tonight.
My
All
pleasure.
Right. Thanks for being out. There we go. Let's get our next caller here. Looks like this will probably be our last caller here tonight again. If you are in the queue, I apologize. The queue is very, very large, but we want to respect you guys' time. And, again, we'll be back next week. So next week when we open up for Q&A, we're going to try to go about 30 minutes for Q&A next week versus 20. But let's go to our next caller here, 513 area code. Welcome to the call.
Hello. My name is Amber. I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio. And I really, really, really have a quick question. Now, you were going through the questions, and I think I missed the second one, after how well do I treat people with who I gain nothing. I wanted to know the question that came after that. I was writing
down.
Oh, the
second question.
I missed that one.
Oh, yes. I can jump in on that one, Amber, because that was my painful question. That was, do I quickly admit wrongdoing without being pressed to do so? So do I quickly admit wrongdoing without being pressed to do so? And that's that experience, the unfortunate experience I had, instead of telling my boss that I forgot to make the phone call, ended up staying until 4 a.m. with the phone company to do an upgrade because I was too prideful early on in my career to just speak the truth.
Yeah, I can understand that. I actually had a situation like that not too long ago, and I thought that was the question, but I wasn't sure. And I also had a comment for the gentleman that was just talking and was asking about John Maxwell's content. I have a lot of John Maxwell's books, and everything, and I've been following for a long time, but my favorite of a lot of the content that he has is the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership.
Yes.
I love everything about that, and I probably would say my favorite law of all of those was the law of the lid, the very first one.
Yeah. That's so good,
Amber. Absolutely.
He can grasp things from a lot of it. But I really think, you know, like the one, especially the ones that you gave him as well, but another one to throw in there is definitely the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership.
Yep. You got it.
So good.
All right.
I love the fact that you shared your favorite law, Amber. Thank you for doing that. That was great.
Awesome.
Yeah, I love the very first law. I highlighted the mess out of that one.
That's awesome.
Wow. All right.
Thank you, Chris and Deb, and you guys have a great night.
You too. Thanks for joining us tonight.
All right. Well, that brings us right to the top of the hour, and we are going to have you back on next week. Be sure to press star 6. We're going to try to make more time for Q&A next week. But, again, we want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. We'll be back at the same time, same place next Wednesday. But, again, if you'd like to find out more information about the content, about the program, how this could help you grow where you are, or transition, or if you want to coach speaker train, this is the place for you. So, again, you can find out more information at johnmaxwellteam.com/BAPI. Well, thanks so much, everyone, for being online. We'll see you on the call next week. Have a great night.
Bye, everyone.
I'll unmute the lines so everyone can say goodbye. Let's see here. And mute up.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye. Bye. Bye.